here we are once again.
Once again, as always.
Once again. It's Milo and Pete, and this time we're joined by the lovely Amy Matthews, returning
Hello.
Champion.
Yeah, that's actually, I've just remembered this time last year when we recorded this pod, I dropped the bomb that I didn't know what. So, you know, All Cops Are Bastards, the acronym, the ACAB thing. I had just gone about my life seeing that everywhere, and I didn't know what it stood for. And I don't know where it came from, but I thought it stood for, and this doesn't make any sense, it'll become very clear very quickly. Mm-hmm. I thought it stood for, I can't actually believe. Which, like, it doesn't even start with an I. I just, like, mentally, something in my brain went, well, that's just someone being camp and efficient.
I can't, like, A-Y-E.
I can't actually believe. Exactly. And honestly, the
Scottish surprise.
Finding out what it actually meant on this podcast, now every time I see it, I have to relive that moment of, like, oh, yeah.
That's great. I'd forgotten about that, but I remember it. I'm now having a Proustian reverie.
It's fun
to see, like, a video of, like, cops beating protesters, catching me on that. So I was going, I can't actually believe.
I don't know where it came from. I have no idea.
That's just not cricket.
It was also obviously this was formerly a Seinfeld podcast.
Yes. Mm.
And I hadn't watched any Seinfeld. And again, famously, I don't know why I'm saying all the worst things about me, but I don't know anything about American comedy. Like, it's a real blind spot. It's a problem. I'm trying to correct it.
You're bringing balance to the industry, because I would say too many people know too much about American comedy.
Really? Fair enough.
I think no one knows anything about American comedy.
Amongst comedians?
No.
Oh, really? I would say that there's a healthy proportion of comedians who are so... it's a bit like that cultural cringe thing they say about Australia, you know, like, where Australians wish they weren't Australian. Yeah. I think there's quite a lot of British comedians who deeply wish they were like American. A New York club comic.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they're obsessed with comedians who just aren't that good, but who are just famous. They're just like, but they're American. They're so glossy. Look at them. Oh, this guy's a killer. And I'm like, no, he'd bomb over here. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. But I was shown... in 2020, I was shown a picture of Jerry Seinfeld, and I was saying to people, I don't know anything about American comedy, and they were like, well, you must, who's that then, as a kind of barometer.
You're like my ex-boyfriend.
Everyone I was 15.
Well, it takes me back to sixth form.
Yeah. I looked at him with complete, like, conviction. I genuinely believed that. I was like, well, that's Reverend Richard Coles.
Do you know who the Reverend Richard Coles is?
And that makes sense. That's okay.
He's a man of God.
Is he a vicar? I don't know much about.
I guess he's technically a reverend, but it's kind of the same thing. I don't know if he still is, actually, but he was in a band in the 90s called the Communards. And then at a certain point, he left the Communards and he became like a vicar/reverend.
Does he look like Jerry Seinfeld?
Well, I believe so.
He's like a tallish, thinnish man with curly brown hair.
I think they have a likeness. I think they could be, looking at them side by side, they could be siblings, I think.
It's very funny to say it with such confidence.
I know, like, well, that's obviously Reverend Richard Coles.
It's very, like, going to tell my kids this was Jerry Seinfeld.
I mean, look.
You see it?
It's not, like... Yeah. I can see how they could be related, for sure.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Especially in some of these photos.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And he now just sort of has... His career is quite unusual.
He writes books.
He's intermittently on QI.
Yeah, he's become a real, like, comedy panel show favourite.
He's a wit.
Yeah.
You know, he's not a comedian, he's a wit.
Absolutely.
And there is a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is a difference. Which so many comedians know. Yeah. There's a...
So what's your experience now with American comedy? How much have you delved into it?
I really like Taylor Tomlinson.
Yes.
I've watched all of her specials, and
that's,
I think,
a very
she's amazing.
Balamory name.
Taylor Tomlinson. It is actually, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, very nice.
Balamory, make it over to Australia.
No.
Balamory is, oh my gosh, how do we describe Balamory?
It's a children's TV show set in a little Scottish seaside town where it's all like, this is the yellow lady who drives the bus. And the
we get so many of yours of those.
And I'm surprised we didn't get Miles Jupp plays the lord who lives in the castle.
Balamory.
Yeah.
Who obviously sounds and is English.
Balamory really sounds like an Australian bush town.
We had
Yeah, I'll throw in Balamori.
Based on the vibes of these photographs, we had similar stuff. We had shipped ashore, but we had it in an island off the coast of WA. Yeah.
Nice.
Similar sort of kids' adventures.
Oh, okay. Yeah, nice. Beautiful.
But yeah, Taylor Tomlinson, I think, is great.
Yeah.
I have watched. I like obviously John Mulaney. Okay, now let's do more of them. There are others, aren't there?
American.
There are others.
So now we're looking for a third American.
Is it?
She can't think of one.
Survey says.
Is it Nate?
Nate Bargatze.
Bargatze. Yes. So my partner absolutely loves him. Right. Really, really loves him. And so I've sort of by osmosis have heard a lot of his work in 30-minute reels. And to be fair, it seems great.
Yeah.
But is that it? Jenny Slate.
Yes, great.
And I've come to her work via Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
So
Is she in Parks and Rec?
She's Jean Ralphio's sister, Mona Lisa. Mona Lisa.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I saw Parks and Rec too long ago to remember that detail.
Fair enough. Money, please. That's her whole thing.
Oh, okay. Right. That prepares you for a career in the arts for sure.
Yeah.
So then, who are your big dogs in British comedy or like Norwegian or what's the
Norwegian? Big Simonson head.
Big Finland.
Good question.
Also fine if no interest in any of them.
I don't love comedy. I grew up in like a panel show household.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, every Friday and Saturday, it was all that was on.
Dad's always reading off cards.
Yeah. exactly.
Have a guest around for dinner on Friday.
Yeah, 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 exactly. They only started booking my mom in around 2006.
Your mom, like, peering down at the table going, I once put peanut butter on the dog. Can you
It could either be either you or your mum at the table.
Absolutely, yeah. It actually created quite a lot of tension between us, and I didn't want her to do well in the end. Like, we were both fine. For the same spot. A real culture
Bob
of competition
Mortimer's
between
always
us.
There. Yeah.
Exactly. But no, it's who growing up, I'm trying to think who. What's happening here is, you know, when is it Billy, also in Parks and Rec, who plays Craig? What's his name? Billy someone. Yeah. He's got a whole thing in the States where he goes up to people and just goes, name a woman.
Oh, yes. Billy Eichner. Yeah.
Billy Eichner. And people panic and can't.
Yes.
And what you guys have done is said, name a colleague. I'm like, don't think so. Don't think so, actually. Which is crazy. Did you grow up with British?
Yeah, both. Yeah, we are both American and British. And, of course, the Australian.
I'm trying to. In fact, I'm prioritizing my Aussies this weekend.
Great.
Because there have been so many that I've wanted to see all month, and then it's now crunch time, and it's like, right, unless you see them in the next 2 days, like I'm not going to see them. So
it's time that we listen to Australian voices.
Yeah, finally. It is actually. It's about time. I saw Lewis Garnham last night.
Yeah, it's
I think one of the best hours of stand up I've ever seen at this festival. Absolutely.
Have you ever seen Louis?
No, I don't think I have. I have heard good things.
It's great. Honestly, he's incredible. I went straight to the comedians group chat and I was like, you guys need to see this. It's just, it's so good. And I'm going to see Geraldine Hickey today.
Great.
And I'm very sad to clash with Laura Davis because they're one of my absolute favorite people. I mean, luckily they live here now, which is wonderful. But I'm trying to just see a bit more than... you know, the people that I will get to see all year round, because it's so easily done, particularly I think in this month where you kind of want there's so much uncertainty and newness in the month. You almost want to anchor yourself with stuff you're familiar with. Do you get that?
Yeah, like,
I think I've done a bit too much of that. So I'm trying to,
Also, you've got to prioritize. It's so hard to see that much stuff. There are so many things I would notionally see. If I had the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't believe it's the day before the Fringe is ending and I am still seeing flyers and posters for the first time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe I've been in this, like, you know, little Petri dish for a month and I'm still seeing new stuff.
Can't believe I've missed out on Accordion Ryan's pop bangers.
I saw Accordion Ryan in the street and he stopped me to chat. I'm like, Accordion Ryan, it's always great to pop into a pop banger.
Thanks for the shout out on your podcast.
Thanks for the kind words.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, it's so funny how the fringe is one thing, but also, you know, thousands of other different things where it's like you're actually existing in a different fringe to the ones the rest of us are experiencing.
Correct.
And I have mostly only seen Australians because I haven't seen them for 2 years. I'm like, well, it is the same thing where it's you're anchoring with something familiar, but also I'm not going to see them.
It's the equivalent of...
You've combined both more efficiently.
Sitting down to have like a Netflix night and just watching Friends again. Yes. You know, it's just like I need the comfort. I know how this ends and it feels good. Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, God, no, I haven't seen as much as I should.
Any highlights? Say. Let's keep it positive.
Oh, any highlights? Yeah, what about that? Would be very rich. Just be like, what did you fucking hate?
You're allowed to love the lowlights, if that's positive.
Yeah. What have I really enjoyed? Pierre's show's great. Really, really enjoyed. Really enjoyed Pierre. What else? Lou Wall's show was fun.
Oh, fun. Yeah, very cool.
We liked that. We enjoyed that.
This is the other thing. It's like we see so much and then
I can't remember anything.
Because every day has like blended into one. Mm. I can't remember any of it. I've kept a note in my phone of everything so I don't forget. But it's been low lights, anyone?
There've been a few like strange ones. Like I went and saw which I enjoyed.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I also he sort of, the first 20 minutes, he was like trying to do an Edinburgh hour and he had this whole structure thing about like songs that were number one throughout his dad's life and throughout his life.
Okay.
And then 20 minutes in, he just abandons it and never returns to it again. And then it just becomes like a solid 40 minutes of like club stand up.
Yeah.
But it was all very weird. I was just kind of like, well, if you just started with like, this is an hour of club comedy and it was, you know, he has the chops to carry that and that's fine. But I was just sort of at the end, I was like, What was that? I'm confused.
A bit of whiplash.
Yeah,
they
sort of crowbars in a kind of like emotional moment about proposing to his fiance at the end, but she's just not woven through the show enough for you to care. Mm. And so I was just kind of like, this is strange. It feels like you've been told by your agent to not do what you wanted to do, but you've sort of done neither thing. But it was still, the overall product was still good because he's funny.
He's an amazing comic. He, you know, he's really super. I've not seen that show.
Yeah.
But there's also like, I feel slightly like I've missed out on an element of fringe because I haven't seen anything like, you know, like sort of student theatre bad. Yes. And I'm sad about that. I mean, there's still a day. There's still a day. Maybe I'll seek something out. But I've not seen anything where I've walked out and gone, oh, yeah, what we do is actually quite hard.
I went to see I love a musical. And I went to see a student production. Well, they didn't actually say who the production was, but of course it was a student production of Rent that was, look, everybody's trying their best.
They don't even know what it is yet.
They've never had to pay it in their lives. Uh-huh. But, I left at the intermission.
There was an intermission. That is rare.
It was a full production of Rent.
Where was it?
It was down at the St. Stephen's Theatre, which is deep past Newtown. It's a church, a converted church into a theatre.
Basically, Fife.
Yes. On the way.
Yeah.
And look, they were absolutely giving it their all.
God bless them.
And I'm like, I can also go to bed.
You can. You do have that option.
And sleep is a precious commodity.
Oh, it really is.
Festival.
I get press ganged into seeing a theatre piece, and it's always the worst thing I see at the Fringe.
You press ganged you?
Well, so in 2022, so some of Annabelle's colleagues, well, she still worked at an agency at the time, and they had this theatre thing up. And it was like a one-man play about a stand-up comedian. And everyone was like frothing over it. They were like, it's the new Fleabag. And her colleagues were all like, you have to bring Milo to see this. It's about a stand-up comedian. He'll love it. And Annabelle was like, I can't say this to them, but he will hate this.
Yeah.
Especially because it's about a stand-up comedian. Yeah. And it was so like accidentally funny. Like it was supposed to be a comedy, but it was funny in all the wrong places. Because just like an actor writing a show about stand-up comedians.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. And like, you know, what the green room is like and all this kind of, and I'm just like, this is insane. This is bad. There were also like stand-up bits in it that were like written in, and it was like the Guardian Sunday Supplement people there were giving it like, you know, like golf, like Wimbledon laughter and little claps,
oh,
you know.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was awful. And then there were all these like Chekhov's guns in it that never went off. It was very odd. And then at the end, they gave it a standing ovation. And I said, fuck off out loud. And Annabelle was like, you can't do this. They're watching us. And I was like, I'm not standing up.
People can see you. Yeah. That's so funny. I don't know if I'd have the gumption to remain seated in a room that was giving a sound of it. Because it goes from being passive to being a protest.
Yeah, and like, and that's why you would have gone along with the Nazis. You would have collaborated.
Yeah, I love to remain seated.
Yeah.
Oh, if it's just like, not for me. But if I feel like if I'm in the middle room, like I had an all right time. And if we're standing, I'll stand with you. But if I did not enjoy it, I'm also not clapping.
Yep.
Something
really
I find
funny.
Very funny is when you're at a play or something that's just very mid and then like a couple of people are trying to get a standing ovation going and it doesn't happen.
It often feels like friends and family.
We're
leaping up, we're supporting.
Sure.
I don't have friends and family that supportive. Fucking hell, it's a nightmare. But then last year I got dragged to another one, which is this one called Why I Stuck a Flare Up My Ass for England, which is back this year.
People
are going on about it again. And this was Aidan Jones's fault. It's about football. I think it'll be fun. And then and so I went along and it was like a drama school guy doing like playing this like football hooligan geezer, so like doing the East End accent but also doing like what I call actor voice, you know, when they're speaking in cadences no one has ever spoken in outside of like Henry V.
Yeah.
And it's like, because it's football, you gotta go down there for the lads, the points, it's about the banter, feeling of the lads in the crowd. And it's like, no, that guy doesn't talk like that. He doesn't know half of these words.
That sounds like the little, you know, the little head that Noel Fielding plays in Mighty Boosh, the Harrison, is it Harrison? Is that what it is?
Maybe.
The little like octopus
the
head.
The weird pink head.
Yeah, the pink head. That is literally what that sounds like. And I can't believe we've touched on what that is. It is geezer doing actor voice slash like all the other way around.
Yes.
Actor voice doing geezer. Incredible. Very nice. I think the best portrayal of a stand-up I've ever seen, because it's insane and also sort of oddly accurate, is do you guys see Annette, the film Annette? Mm. It was produced by Sparks, the band. So a lot of annoying
Hannah
phrases.
Gatsby cleverly adding on an N and making something a lot more famous. They'll never know.
That's very, very funny. At the end of the film, they actually say that they're never going to make a film again. So in Annette, they have a stand-up comedian played by Adam Driver. And he just cuts about in a dressing gown, sort of throwing a mic, being depressed. And there's like, that's actually a more accurate portrayal of a stand-up than like anything else I've ever seen in a TV show, of being like, you know, there's always the moment that's written in where, I don't know, you've got someone who's like trying to be funny on stage and then they're like, hang on, can I just be real for a minute? And then that's what gets them a laugh. You know, that sort of like structured thing. Awful, vile. But this Adam Driver character is like a horrendous like person and an alcoholic and just dreadful. And I'm like, oh, finally, some representation. Like, this is so much better. Yeah, representation matters, guys.
Much better. There's this great bit in Pierre's show where he was like, yeah, I've got autism. He's like, that covers a lot of comedians' autism. And then he's like, then other comedians, you've got your ADHD, you've got your run-of-the-mill narcissist, borderline personality disorder, alcoholics, drug addicts, and of course, most worrying of all, the pun people. You can see it in their eyes. They're just trying to think of another one.
That's very funny. Very, very funny.
They terrify me, the pun people.
The pun people.
You only see them at the fringe. You just see the poster with like guys. I was like, pun man, 1,000 puns in an hour.
Yeah, the guy in my room before me is doing 200 puns in an hour.
No, it's too many puns.
A lot of props.
And props.
The 200 pun salute.
A lot of pun props.
Imagine being a pun guy and a prop guy.
Yeah.
He's the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
He doesn't use a microphone, he's told me. He doesn't use a microphone because I've got too many props. I'm like, okay.
Wow. He's rejected the ultimate prop in favor of many props.
Yeah, steps out from behind it. He's
good
there with God. I haven't seen the show, obviously.
Yeah. So he has so many props that he needs two hands to wrangle all of the props.
Yeah.
Who are your changeover buddies apart from Pun Man? So you've got Pun Man.
I've got Pun Man. I've got Jokemon. It's a guy doing a show about jokes about Pokemon.
Yeah, which isn't in of itself a pun, so Pun Man's going to be furious about that.
He is, that's who I've got. That's in the mix. Yeah. Lovely. And then Cuddle Slut is on after me. I'm doing the Free Fringe.
Cookie little sandwich. That's so nice.
Yeah. I'm so fascinated by what Cuddle Slut entails.
It is Henry Ginsberg. I don't know if you've ever met Henry. He's doing a show called Cuddle Slut.
Okay.
I'm also not sure what it entails. But no. I love the title.
I love the title. That's fun.
Pokemon Cuddle Slut, 200 puns in an hour. And then I'm doing 45 minutes in between all of that.
What a 4-hour double bill you could have there.
You're the lemon sorbet between wild courses.
I am on at the same time as Jokemon, but often if an audience member is not enjoying me, I say, do you just want to go to the Pokemon show?
Go to Jokemon.
Please go to Jokemon.
Well, you seem like you'd enjoy something worse than this. Have you considered the show next door?
We don't necessarily know that it is worse because I haven't been able to see it. It's possible that 150 jokes about Pokemon.
Yeah, it's quite a thin premise. Sometimes you're like, you'd have to be a real genius to like, it's the sort of thing like, if you gave Sam Campbell that premise, he could probably make a good show out of it. But I don't think that guy doing Jokemon at the Free Fringe has that ability.
Has the chops. I saw, speaking of people who do have the chops, I saw Stuart Laws do an hour based around the fact. So he had a viral video where he was Michael Caine saying never in Batman.
Never.
Yeah. And how many takes it took to get there. And it went viral. And it was very popular. It was very funny. He did a show. I think it was called Stuart Laws is Michael Caine saying never for an hour. Yeah. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
And it was the funniest thing I've seen. It was the rolling laughter in the room. I was like, well, obviously this is going to tire around like the 20 minute mark. Yeah. And then how's he going to... It was honestly, I think it came at the perfect point in the Fringe when everyone had broken.
Yeah.
And it was just like this lovely glitch in the system that was so funny. Yeah.
Presumably he had to do something to make it work. Like he couldn't just say never for an hour.
Amy Gledhill was, what's his name? Reverend Richard,
Amy Gledhill as Reverend Richard Coles
as Jerry Seinfeld. That would be amazing. No, Christian Bale.
Never. Never.
And then Nish was Nolan was directing, and Heidi Reagan was the script editor.
Yeah.
And they all really played their parts very beautifully.
Right.
It was very silly.
I assume once off.
What, go again?
Did he do it the entire,
day? No, it was a one-off. You're absolutely correct,
Every day you'd actually... Yeah, you'd give yourself schizophrenia. It'd be the first ever case of like Fringe-induced.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He started to believe he is Michael Caine. He hears Michael Caine's voice in his head.
He's going to be like Hodor. And like it never becomes the only thing he can say.
That would be the most Stuart Laws character arc of all time. Like, he manages to break his own brain to the point where he can only say never in Michael Caine's voice. Like
that would be amazing.
My friend Alistair Tremblay-Burchell, I think about 10 years ago now, did a show which was Alistair Tremblay-Burchell lists everything. And it was literally just him saying
words. Listing things.
He was just listing things for an hour.
So funny.
I don't think there was anything. There was nothing else. It was just like, you come in a room and he's going to list things and then it'll be over.
That's so funny.
Yeah. How was it? Did it
I never
work?
Saw it because it just seemed like it would be him listing things.
yeah, that is.
But I'd love to have full reports from everybody who did see it and how every show went.
Yeah. I feel like there's fewer and fewer of those kind of shows that you'd only get at the Fringe. You know, like the was it a gorilla who made a cup of tea or sat in a chair?
The young man dressed as an old man dressed as a gorilla sitting in a chair.
That was one. There was one where someone made a cup of tea.
Oh, yes.
There was something else. Like that ilk of show.
Yeah.
I feel like is a bit of a dying art.
Apparently there's one this Fringe where a man eats cheese.
Oh.
He just eats cheese.
They're just filming my kitchen at 3 a.m.
he eats cheese for an hour, and you just watch him eat cheese. And apparently, he gets sick of eating cheese.
Well,
But he's commentating on the cheese that he's eating, and so sometimes we'll eat lettuce, but we'll still say what he'd say if it was the cheese that he was eating.
Yeah,
and then you can see this.
He's actually doing a second show at the Fringe. One man farts for an hour.
One man deals with gout.
This is like calling the bookers going like, no, they have to be a certain way around in the day. Do I have to explain this to you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, obviously, I was going to say, I don't know why that's happening, but it's, I mean, obviously it's because the stakes are now so high financially at the fringe that people can't just fuck about. But yeah. No, it's been a month. It's been a long one. Do you know what? I do think I'm aware I might be in a bit of a bubble of like, for example, I rarely leave Monkey Barrel, like, because everything is pay what you want and it's, you know, it's there. Everyone I've spoken to has had at least a reasonably nice fringe.
Right.
Mm.
I've not spoken to anyone who's just like, this has been the toughest month of my life.
Yeah, no,
they're out there, I'm sure, but yeah, I haven't seen them yet.
They're out there. There's people on the free fringe who are, you know.
They're having tough ones. How's it compare for previous fringes? Where do you guys feel like you're stacking up fringe-wise across collective fringes? How many fringes have you both done?
Ooh.
Go on.
Well, my first ever fringe was 2013, so done a few.
Really?
I've not done. I was 20. But yeah, I have not, I've not done that many because I've had quite, there's been a few years where I haven't come.
Yeah.
So this is my fourth solo hour and I did at least three full runs of mixed bills before that.
I've had a similar kind of vibe where this is my third hour doing a full run. But then before that I did, that dreamy little 2021 pandemic, fringe, the one that was just like incredible because there were no press and everyone just had a really nice time and everyone was so excited to be out of the house. That one I did as a split bill with Crystal Evans. Before that I did a half an hour show for the whole run. Monkey Barrel used to do half an hour shows for people that wanted to do a full run but didn't want to do a split bill. And it's such a good idea.
That's great.
Because as a punter as well, you're so much more likely to take a punt on a half an hour show. That's like an episode of something you'd give a go.
It
was great. It was so good. So did that. And then before that, I did a mixed bill show as a student. So yeah, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Six?
That's quite a few.
Six-ish fringes with three full hours. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you? How long have you been?
28. So the same number except for 2021.
Yeah.
So 2018, 2019. 2024, whatever this one is.
Yeah,
2024.
But I haven't done it. I've not done. This is the closest. I've just doing work in progress. Nice. The others have just been split bills and hundreds of spots.
Yeah, you're just waiting for that, the big debut year.
Yeah, you can also never debut. What about that?
Yeah, what about that?
What about just, never debuting?
I'm doing a 53-minute show.
Next year I'll do a split bill for people, all me.
That would be very funny just to like debut at the age of like 53. But not having like picked up comedy late in life, just having been doing it the whole time.
That would be really funny.
Just rocking up, just ripping apart some 25-year-olds with no road hardened skills. Just
imagine debuting with a best of. That would be so cool.
The best bits is the name of the debut show.
Yeah. So obviously I've had a 30-year career. This is my debut show.
So silver anniversary debut show.
Yeah, that would be great.
There is a guy I know who is doing a split bill this year with himself. He has a character, so he's doing half of him and half the character.
Wow, that's bold.
I assume the character's second.
I hope he's in two half and half outfits and he just turns the other way.
Well, it worked for Natalie Palamides. Got a nom out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is that what she's doing?
Yeah. Well, she's her whole thing is that she's got half a male coded suit and half a dress and she does a rom-com for the whole show and she plays both parts just by turning the other way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. Traverse. Apparently it's absolutely sensational.
She's playing both Sarah Jessica Parker and Hugh Grant.
Absolutely.
But who is the rodeo? Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
I don't even know what it's called.
What's the I remember the trailer for that. What is it called? Should I Google it?
Basically, Grant and Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, they're in it. It's like a late Hugh Grant rom-com. Basically, they're like a couple who live in Manhattan and they're getting divorced.
Yeah.
And then as they're about to get divorced, they witness a mafia murder. So they have to go into the witness protection program in Texas. And then in the course of the witness protection program, they fall in love again. You know, it's this kind of shit. But there's this whole scene where the mafia are trying to murder them at a rodeo. Yeah. And it's just one of the most insane things I've ever seen.
Did you hear about the Morgans?
Of course. Mm. I always... That is, I feel like your comedy is in trouble when you're like, the mafia is involved. When it's just like, at some point the Russian mob will turn up, or like, it'll be something like that, where it's just like, there's been a murder that's been witnessed. It's like, oh, you're in trouble. Your romantic comedy is just hit up. It just should be the people. Just have people. You know.
Any DVD with that format on the front.
Yeah.
You know what you're in for.
Absolutely.
Sorry, oh, that's very, it's not great for that. Audio.
Where it's like title in the middle, one head at the top. One head at the bottom.
Yeah.
I feel like it's similar to the Holiday.
Yes. Yeah. Which, to be fair, is maybe the greatest cinematic experience of all time.
So you know what you're in for, but there are highs and lows of that genre.
It's so true.
I feel like The Holiday divides people. I personally think it's Cursed Love, actually.
So I respect you and your opinions, and I would love...
It's time we listen to the opinions of white men.
It is. I would genuinely love to know what, like, why...
It's just so, it just has, I feel like it doesn't have any of the charm. There's a certain, as much as I am one of this country's biggest haters in a lot of my stand-up work.
People say that about you.
I think the people who don't like Love Actually are churlish, and they refuse to acknowledge that it's a very charming little British film with lots of nice characters and vignettes in it that are very, whereas like The Holiday is like Jude Law, one of our most rancid exports.
What's your beef with Jude?
Why
in The Holiday?
He just seems like he would give you chlamydia. And I say that as a man. Like, I just, you
know, given people chlamydia.
Look, we've all given people chlamydia.
I think he's. I think he's great in
the okay.
I
Jack
do as
Black,
well.
Who
he managed
found
to
charming.
Make the name Graham fit. Yes. That's so impressive.
Kate Winslet, someone else I've never cared for.
I went to Malaysia several years ago, and I had three different locals in Kuala Lumpur ask me if I was Kate Winslet.
Really?
Yeah.
You do look a bit like Kate.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's very generous. But I was like, oh, you're confused. No.
What you do look is a lot younger than Kate Winslet.
Like 30 years older than me.
I mean, Titanic era Kate Winslet, maybe, yeah.
You Kate Winslet from the past.
Yeah. I've taken that.
Yeah, my only quibble with The Holiday is that I think that Kate Winslet deserves better than Jack Black.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That it's not an equivalent sort of switching.
Yeah, also Cameron Diaz, she's kind of off-brand Gwyneth Paltrow for me. I just
that is
never...
deeply
fair
unfair.
Very nice to hear someone say fair enough over the top of someone saying that is deeply unfair.
It's a debate. It's a debate show. Please, can we keep it civil?
I really love it. I've watched The Holiday outside of the holiday season.
Ooh.
I know. It's got comfort movie quality for me.
Yeah.
When I'm ill, I have to watch either The Holiday, both Princess Diaries films back to back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Shrek. They're my illness films.
Yeah, great. The first Shrek.
Shrek being the most erotic of the three.
Absolutely,
yeah.
And one day I want to eat eggs one day that taste as good as they look in Shrek.
Yeah.
Mm. You know when he cooks them on the little like rock? You know this, where they're like camping out before.
I've not seen Shrek in so long, but yeah.
Correct that, because
I know I call myself a cinephile.
Just for the eggs, it's some of the most amazing egg action I've ever seen.
Robert, one of my favourite things that's ever been said on this podcast was one time when Phoebe and I were discussing. I don't think we even had a guest. We were just discussing whether this, like, there was some like man in the media that women were saying were attractive, and but it was like an odd. It was a hear me out. Right?
Was it a Barry Keoghan?
Oh, well, this would have been before Barry Keoghan being a sort of a topic of discourse. But also I've discovered that I believe, based on my research, that his name should be pronounced Keown, but he pronounces it Keoghan himself.
Like,
he's got the brain of an Englishman.
You know Susan Riddle, the comedian?
Yeah.
Her name is the surname she has is Riddell.
Right,
that everyone in her family has always said Riddle. So she's, even though it's like that's categorically amazing. Wrong, yeah. but that's so she's just always
I love that when you meet someone who's like their name is spelt Sarah, but they're like, but it's pronounced Sarah, and I'm like, your parents should have called you Sarah. I don't know what you want from me. Like, you should. They spelled it. They've spelled what they've done is they've called you Sarah, and you're in denial about it. That's what's happened there. I don't know why you're asking me to change the orthography of the English language on your behalf.
It's so true.
But yeah,
so
and then Phoebe just went. She just goes, all women want to fuck Shrek. And I was like, what? And she was just like, I'm just going to repeat myself. All women want to fuck Shrek.
Okay, counterpoint. Yeah.
Some of us want to fuck Donkey. Yeah.
Some of us have. And he gave me chlamydia.
You're one of the original Milos, actually.
It's me and Yiannopoulos.
Yeah. there's Milos everywhere now in babies. But you're like an OG Milo.
And you know, obviously you're familiar with Milo, the beverage in Australia.
I am, especially because it's also everywhere apart from Europe, basically.
Oh, really?
There was because it's very popular in like Africa and the Caribbean. And there was like a British West African girl that I was at university with who presented me with a tin of it because she was obsessed with the fact that I was
like a Nesquik sort of thing with a malt.
That's so funny. It's like me being called Ovaltine.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's so funny.
And so, and it's huge in Australia.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it is.
But yeah, you're an original Milo.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have a middle name?
Right, strap in, Leonard. Yeah, that's right. It is funny. I sometimes forget myself that my middle name is Leonard.
Leonard.
Milo Leonard.
Amy, what's your middle name?
Francis.
Francis.
Yeah.
Mine's Dean.
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 Dean. Dean Leonard Francis. Different vibes for the podcast.
Yeah.
Dean.
That's fun that's fun though. It's punchy.
Dean, yeah, we're in it
now. Yeah.
I always feel moved on. Dean is one of, and being from Essex, I've met a lot of Deans in my life. It feels like a name where your parents have just given up. Like it's not, I just don't know how you can look at it. You look at a newborn baby, and all the hormones that make you love and protect things for the rest of your life are like coursing through your body, and you're like Dean, I reckon. Dino.
Oh dear. Yeah. No, it's, I really narrowly escaped some quite horrendous first names.
Okay.
My shortlist from my mother was Sabrina, which to be fair has been reclaimed by Carpenter of late. However, I was born in 1995, so I'd have been bullied. So I was almost called Sabrina, and then if I wasn't called Sabrina, my mum wanted to call me Roxy. Roxanne.
After the assembly.
There was another one as well, but basically it's a miracle that I ended up being called Amy, which is just absolutely neutral.
Roxy's all right.
I think it was because she wanted to go Roxanne and call me Roxy. Yeah. And I was like, Mom, are you serious?
You can't actually name a child Roxy.
You can't name
a child. Yeah, you can't name a child, no.
This is a pet hate of mine when people name their child the nickname.
Right, yeah. My best friend is like, he's exactly the same as this. Yeah. He was like, because I always used the, I was like, oh, I really like the name Kit. And he was like, you can't call a child Kit. You need to call them Christopher. And I was like, but I don't like that so
much. Or Keith.
It's illegal to call a child
Keith. Yeah. I met a Dudley the other day in an audience. Yeah. Wow. I was really taken aback.
And he wasn't like a basset hound or anything.
I was like, I can't believe I've met a Dudley in the wild. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah, I've never met a Dudley.
I couldn't imagine meeting a Dudley. No. Wouldn't know where you would do it.
Where do you start?
Under the cover of darkness, preferably.
I wouldn't even know where you would do it. I have no idea.
How are people calling a child Dudley? It's like a comedy name.
It's got to be a grandparent.
It
has to be in honor of someone, surely, if you're naming a child.
Why I'm called Leonard. That's my grandfather's name.
That scans, my grandmother's name was Francis.
I don't know who Dean is.
Who's Dean? They just love
it. Who is Dean?
My grandmother's name is Peggy.
Famously, her name is Peggy.
And my sister wanted to name her daughter after my grandmother, like for a middle name. And she was like, but obviously I'm not doing fucking Peggy. So she gave her my grandmother's middle name, which is Sylvia. And I'm like, this is cheating.
Yeah. I like Sylvia. That's
it's like,
nice.
Go hard, call her Lucia Peggy. That's what I want to say.
Yeah. And is Peggy short for Margaret?
Well, it should be, but not in my grandmother's case.
Love
birth
that.
Certificate, it's just Peggy. Peggy. I great. Don't think my grandmother's mother was particularly literate. I think there was,
It's like Peggy.
I think I'm not sure that the school was even compulsory when my grandmother's mother was a child.
I see.
I think it was like, all right, into the mines you go, or whatever Cockneys were doing, probably not mining, something else.
But, oyster shucking.
Yeah, pulling contaminants out of steam looms or whatever it might be.
oh dear. My granddad was a train driver.
Ooh.
Yeah. That feels like not a real job, doesn't it? Even though it is.
Yeah.
It feels like, I don't know, something that a child would say they want to do when they grow up.
Yeah.
You know, like
astronauts. And some people stick with their dreams.
Some people do. They do. What did you want to do when you were small?
I don't know, actually. Yeah. I was always... Yeah.
Chilling full time.
Well, you know what? This is actually the most me thing ever. I really wanted to go to Cambridge from like a really young age.
That's so funny.
Deeply revealing.
Well, congrats. Of me.
Yeah, I know.
And then huge.
It's just since then, it's all been downhill, really. but, you know. That's
very funny. How about you? What did you
do? I jumped between it would have been like an archaeologist, or just like an explorer.
Oh yeah, that.
Big time. As a
little
kid.
There's a lot of those on Indeed at the moment. Those vacancy explorer.
I really wanted to write a comedy show called Jokemon. I guess that dream's over.
I really wanted to be Tintin. Is what I wanted to be as a child.
Okay.
That was my dream.
Absolutely.
A little racist Belgian boy. That's what we all want to be.
I don't think him specifically was racist. But the Belgians,
Tintin
the Belgians were doing. The Belgians were racist, and Hooge was. But
one of my mates, Alex, his dad is a very eccentric man, and to the point where, like, because he's an agricultural lawyer, and the reason he's a very erratic man, but the reason why he's a successful agricultural lawyer is because farmers are also deeply erratic men, and they trust him.
Yeah.
And so this law firm is like, we can't sack this mad alcoholic lawyer because the farmers, they won't, they'll follow him wherever he goes. They can't. he's like the farmer whisperer. But like the amount of like illegal things this man has possession of because he's found that some farmer has like fucking chlorine gas from World War I that they've been using to kill badgers, and he's like, you can't have this.
Oh my goodness.
And then he's like, let me hand this into the police for you, and I'm a lawyer and I can be like, look, I'm not allowed to say where I got this, but I'll be sure. And then he just doesn't.
That's wild.
Anyway, one time Alex went around there and discovered that he had a stack of copies of Tantan O Kong, which is like the really racist Tintin, where he goes to the Congo. Yeah. And he's like, why do you have all of these? And he's like, well, it'll be banned soon. I was stocking up. They'll be worth something. And he said, why do you have like 8 copies?
That's so weird. Oh,
to sell them to whom?
I don't know. Or just
restore them.
So mad. Yeah.
What was your childhood dream?
I wanted to be a paleontologist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really love dinosaurs. Really love dinosaurs.
That is a childhood classic.
It is. And then I'm kind of annoyed, actually, because I feel like around like when I was choosing GCSEs and stuff, I had so many people tell me there's no jobs in that. And I just believed them and went, oh, okay, guess I'll do something different then. And
I guess I'll be a stand-up comedian.
How many clowns do you think? That was like, it was like a switch. I was like, oh, okay. I just believe.
It is so funny that is something that they say when it's like, there are no jobs in there. It's like, there literally are. That's why I thought of it as an idea for a job to do.
Totally. Yeah,
and if I loved it, I would pursue it and I'd be the one doing it.
Yeah.
I'd be the paleontologist.
But again, I think it's a, like where I grew, like my hometown, if you're like, well, I don't know any, they can't exist.
Yes.
It's like saying you want to be, I don't know, even if you're like, I want to be a cameraman. But you don't know that they don't, like concept, we can academically
understand no idea where
that
you
exist,
would start. Yeah.
But how would you get there? Like you don't just become a cameraman. That's insane. You're like, you know, it just doesn't happen. So I think when people were just like, oh, well, you don't get a job. If you want to study that, you won't get a job. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly, you know, like you're from Southend, you'll get a job nicking scrap metal off of roofs like the rest of us. Little Vinicius, the Nepo babies of the scrap metal making industry.
Because I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid. I did a gig in Belgium recently where I asked the crowd, because my mum used to take us to graveyards a lot when we were kids. Right. Just
love
as
a graveyard.
Love a graveyard. Mm. We'd always go.
This will
run
be
around.
You one day, boys.
And I asked the crowd if anybody else had ever had that experience of a family member taking them to graveyards. And two people at the back were like, yeah, we did. And I'm like, oh, great. Are you guys siblings? They're like, no, we're colleagues. I'm like, what do you do? We're both archaeologists. And I was like, oh, is that why I wanted to be an archaeologist?
Oh, my goodness.
Because their parents would take them to graveyards all the time and they both grew up to become archaeologists separately. And they were the only people in this room who had ever had that experience. And I was like, that's wild to me.
So interesting.
And I would love to know if that's the... Because I wanted to be an archaeologist. I'm like, what's that? Bones, history, is that why?
I have two fantasy careers. You know, like when it becomes like stand-up is so maddening in so many ways, it's important and healthy to fantasize about a different life.
Yeah.
It is important and healthy to think about something other than your current existence.
Mine is always the two careers that I'm really drawn to are painting and decorating.
Yeah.
Because you'd finish a job.
Yeah.
And I think there's something about stand-up because you're never finished.
Anything manual like carpentry, it has an appeal to it. Yeah.
I love that. I love the idea of that. Or being an undertaker.
Yeah, right.
I love the idea
of
just like this is an insane thing
to say. Just power bombing someone into a wrestling ring. Sorry, Ryan. Yeah, I was confused there. Yeah.
I'm comfortable around death.
Yeah.
And I think I'd be good at it. If that's not too weird a thing to say, I think I'd be good at it. I'd sort of have this lovely gothic dream. And
burying someone with real finesse.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at that. Such a smooth lower of the coffin.
Exactly, It's interesting though, because both of those things are the antithesis of stand-up in that, as I say, like with painting and decorating, you get to finish a thing and then you go home and you don't have to think about it anymore. Mm. Undertaking, there's no... The only public that you have to deal with aren't going to give you a jip. Yeah. Like it's the opposite of all of the gears you have to employ as a stand-up.
Oh, undertakers have been so underprepared for me in the past because they're just, I think no one is making jokes at the undertakers, or at least not to the extent that I was.
That's so funny. The guy
was visibly uncomfortable. It's like me and my sisters, because they give you like a fucking like IKEA catalog of coffins to choose from. Yeah. But I'm just like, this is hilarious. Like, first of all, we're going to set it on fire. I don't know if that's come across yet, but do you have anything made of paraffin wax? But then there was this one in there, and I just kept deliberately choosing, like, the worst coffins. And I was like, oh, what about this one? And it's, like, something insane. They had one that was just, like, the Saltire Scottish flag was, like, whole coffin. And I was like, oh, yeah, we should definitely get this. And then the Undertaker is like... Did your mother have any kind of connection to Scotland? Or I was like, oh, no, quite the opposite. She hated the Scotch. I just thought that would be funny. And he was like, did she? And I was like, also no. And then eventually he just left the room. He was like, I'm just going to let you guys do this in private.
That's really funny.
But yeah, good shit.
What'd you go for?
Basic, you know, straightforward.
Basic package.
I always said for my... Well, I think, you know, my mum wouldn't have wanted the real shit. You know, the hippie stuff, that wouldn't have been for her. But, I did always say, I think my dad would have quite enjoyed being buried in, like, the box from some IKEA furniture or something, you know, like,
super functional.
Yeah, it's always useful. I knew that box would come in handy.
There's that famous tweet, isn't there, of why I can't believe how expensive coffins are, what's going on, just bury me raw.
Raw dog it.
It's funny.
Yeah. My fantasy non-comedy career is usually either some kind of tradesman, so similar to you, or like lazy semi-alcoholic army officer. Like I'm just like a major in the intelligence corps. Yeah. People are like bringing me coffees and calling me sir. I just sort of vaguely writing some reports about the Donbass. I'm drinking port at dinner. I'm wearing a ludicrous uniform with unidentifiable like medals and shit. There's bits of soft furnishings on it. I don't even know what they are.
Nice. That's lovely. It's beautiful.
It is nice. I like a job where you get a cool outfit.
A little uniform.
Yeah, British Army officer, good outfits.
Mm, yeah, it's true.
You could have that for stand-up comedy. You could have a costume that you always put on.
Have you ever had like a stage outfit?
No, I haven't. I've picked outfits for like important shows before.
Yeah.
But I've never had a uniform. I know some people do and they swear by it.
When I think of you, I think of you in your yellow fleece.
Ah, yes. Couldn't wear that on stage. It'd be so hot.
No, yeah, that would be insane. But that's how I, you know, like you picture someone in like their what I would call like their cartoon outfit.
Mm.
You know, like cartoons have like their, they don't change.
Yeah.
Yeah. I picture you in like flowing robes. That's the... Like your outfits are quite varied, but they always have quite a loose fit quality, like a wide leg trouser. Yeah. And
I like when you hang up my washing, I think you'd look at it and be like, "What giant person lives here?" Like, so all of my stuff is like six sizes too big. Usually, I love the sensation of being swamped in clothes. I love all my
clothes off David Byrne.
Yeah. Exactly. So I just love anything that that feels like I could live in it.
I'd love to do an hour of stand-up in the giant suit.
So that would be so good.
Yeah, it's not making sense. That would be fun. It would get so hot, but
doesn't Ivo Graham own David Byrne suit?
Does he?
I think so.
That's such a funny, eccentric
thing to own. It's like a weird dream I've had.
It's also, I feel like, you know, Ivo Graham is like somewhat rich and famous, but he's not rich and famous enough to be that degree of eccentric collector.
He's also
got to be
tall.
Like Elton John to own David Byrne's suit.
It's not the suit. But I don't think I've imagined this.
It would be funny if you've just seen him in a suit.
It's like, yeah, that tiny boy.
He's quite tall,
big
suit.
Yeah, the menswear guy just going after him. The fit on this is terrible.
I love it. What's your signature?
At the moment, I am, if it's, you can't do it in Edinburgh, but I love a hoodie. I've got a whole variety of different colored hoodies that I love.
Lovely.
Before that, a button-up shirt.
Yuck.
I hate it. That's so I roll up those sleeves. Yeah, I'm a working man. I work a day in my life.
Yeah.
I'm a fraud.
I think John Cruikshank has the best onstage look. It's an Aussie comedian who's also an electrician.
Amazing.
And the extent to which him being an electrician still is a bit versus a job is like kind of unclear. It exists in a sort of hinterland where he does sort of still need to be an electrician, but also it's part of his vibe.
Amazing.
And he'll just go on stage in like, you know, like the cargo shorts with tools in. And the electrician shirt with that like the company logo on it.
Lovely. Yeah. But if you're ever bored in, you know, like when you've got a weekend somewhere and you don't know how to kill time, but you also don't want to spend money, you don't want to spunk your fee on doing stuff. I will have a walk around sometimes if I'm really bored, and I'll go to a shopping center and I'll walk around various shops. And if you've got another comic with you, I highly recommend walking around a shop and playing. Whose outfit is this on stage? Because there's sections of clothing stores where you can literally look at it and be like, Mark Nelson, or like you can like point at something and be like, well, that's who would wear that on stage.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's so good.
Mark Nelson, you just didn't like next.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of Mark Nelsons out of the formal wear section of next.
It's a good time.
Yeah, God, it would be terrifying to know where the comedians are when they're saying that's you. Probably TK Maxx.
I was like, I don't think anyone could say anything too controversial about you.
No, I kind of.
I don't think I'm going to arrest you.
No, I don't push the boat out too much.
Nothing crazy.
Annabelle does like to roast me for my love of TK Maxx. But
does she?
I don't buy that much in TK Maxx. I mostly go in there for like, you know, a phone charger, a scented candle for Aunt, that kind of thing. And my rule with TK Maxx clothes is you will only ever find something good in TK Maxx if you're not looking for clothes.
Yes.
If you've gone in for scented candle for Aunt, then you may find a nice t-shirt or a nice jumper.
You may happen across.
If you go in there for a t-shirt or a jumper, everything you pick up will turn to ashes in your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What sizes are they ever in?
Well, they don't know.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
Chaotic. It's never in the right order because people don't respect TK Maxx fundamentally.
No.
Yeah,
it's
they
true.
Really don't.
It's true. Yeah. And there's always sort of a strange section. I don't know if you guys will be aware of it, actually. There's always a section in the corner that's like hidden, like squirreled away. Of like prom dresses. So in like every TK Maxx, you'd just be like walking down Balham High Street or something. There's fucking prom dresses. It's so odd.
For sale,
so
prom
odd.
Dress, never worn. Yeah. buttons.
Exactly.
Do proms here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we like to adopt Americanisms at every opportunity.
And in fact, you quite often get two, because you sort of leave school at 16 and then again at 18.
Right.
In a lot of cases.
Yeah, we had two too, but we had formals. We didn't have proms.
Yeah, to be fair, actually, after GCSEs, it was a prom, and then for sixth form, we had like a leavers ball.
Yeah, same.
Which is what they called it. It was just in a function hall. Yeah. It's not a ball at all. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, mate. Yeah, that's why we've got the microphone.
We're almost done there.
we like to chat like this. It's our comfort blanket.
I'm a huge fan.
It keeps the conversation moving. Yeah, we like to invite one listener into the room with us every week.
We've done it a couple of times, so we've done it. Yeah.
That's
you,
so
if
nice.
You subscribe to the $100 tier on the Patreon, you can be
in
the draw.
You can pop in and be like, you guys recording?
Yeah.
You get to be this week's person who asks, are you guys still recording?
I got Chang's this agent the other night. He was telling me he has a client who's doing like an immersive theatre play every day where only one person can go. He like leads him around these like various places, like an apartment, and like there's a bathroom with a woman sitting in the bath covered in noodles and all this kind of stuff. And then he's only getting 60 punters in or something over the whole course of the Fringe. I think he's doing it a couple of times a day, but this guy was his agent, and he was like, oh, you should come and see it one day. And he's like, no, you know, actual people have to come and see it. That's kind of, I'm there, I know who you are. And he's like, oh, it'd be nice if you came and see it. And he's like, yeah, but you should have not done a thing where only one person can go. And I was like, surely you could have a small group.
This group called Granny Bingo, who are three men who dress up as grandmothers in Australia.
Lovely.
They did
Granny Bingo sounds like a Pornhub vertical.
Yeah.
They did a show in a caravan one year, but they did 15 minutes. It was a 15-minute show. Only one person could be in there with the three of them in the caravan. So you go in, like, but they kept doing it throughout the night. So that's how you get more than one person.
Yeah, that's
You've only got a spot for one. You just do it more regularly rather than go, I show one person around a day and then I'm done.
That's exhausting, though. Doing
you're showing people around an apartment one at a time. Even estate agents get more in. You could have more.
That's so mad.
Doing the bucket at the end and being like, well, the Asket price is £10, but the market is competitive. So it's a sealed bid system. You might want to consider. That would be fun, auctioning the show. Yes. Like only one person can come a day, so it goes to the highest bidder.
In many ways, pay what you want. Like the bucket speech we have to do at the end of the day for our show feels like we're auctioning ourselves.
Mm. Yeah.
Doesn't it? Have you got a bucket speech? I can't remember.
Yeah. Mine is quite sarcastic.
No.
I know. It's honestly, it's my favorite line of the show every day where I'm like, and also please recommend the show. You know, it's a word of mouth festival and it helps us out a lot. And so please do your family and friends a favor by recommending them this show, because I think we can all agree there's a lot of shit on at this festival. And you wouldn't want them going to any of that. And it gets this like most morbid laugh from people who've been at the Fringe for 2 weeks and have been to like Peter Andre, the musical set in the trenches of World War One or whatever it might be.
One of my favorite jokes of Adam Flood's show this year is after the show's finished, he says in a really throwaway way, so if you don't know who I am, I've been Adam Flood, which coincidentally is also the plot of Genesis. It's so nice. It's such a funny way to
very fun. it's such a funny name.
It's great.
Yeah.
Adam Flood.
I loved your DMs with Adam Flood's dad.
Adam Flood's dad dropped me a line afterwards. It was so great. Because I loved Adam's show and I shared it on Instagram. And I got a message from actually, I'm not going to name him just in case.
A Mr.
Flood.
Which is basically naming him, because who the fuck is called Flood?
Flood.
get out of
Domingo
phone book.
Little Oakley.
Yeah. Very good.
Thank you. He messaged me, his dad, and was just like, thank you for saying such lovely things about my son. We're very proud of him. It was so lovely. And then he was like, and also, me and the wife saw you on the one show last night and you were wonderful. And I was like, okay, well, that's news to me. And then about 5 minutes later, wife's an idiot. It was Abby Clark. Absolutely
Didn't
amazing.
Did he at one point refer to her as Mrs. Flood? That Mrs. was an Flood. Element of it I
Mrs.
really
Flood.
Enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, like they were kind of cartoon characters.
They do. Now that sounds like a British children's television program, The Floods.
The Floods.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
Calling your wife Mrs. Your surname is a hilarious move.
Mrs. Flood.
Yeah, yeah. Let me check with Mrs. Edwards about that.
Mr. Flood.
Yeah. Flood. So nice. Yeah. So nice.
Yeah. Well, someone once let a photocopier salesman into my mum's office that she hadn't authorised, and she was renowned for being quite a hard-nosed woman at work, and apparently he sort of like barged into her office and he starts talking to her about photocopiers, and he was like Sue, can I call you Sue? And she was like, you can call me Mrs. Edwards on your way out. And then just started, like, shoving him out of her office.
That's so funny. What a move. What
I need to move. Be a photocopier salesman. Another dead job. Yeah. No longer exists.
Bizarrely have been introduced by three different compares.
Yeah.
As Amy Williams. Oh. And there's not an Amy Williams as a comedian, and there's not a famous Amy Williams that I'm aware of.
Okay.
I just have the vibe of an Amy Williams. Three different compares.
Do you think it's just that sort of Matthews?
It's a Welsh surname.
And Matthews and Williams are both kind of like men's first names that have been made into surnames. And so maybe they kind of...
But it's just really bizarre that's
happened. Amy Williams, the British former skeleton racer who won gold medals at the Winter Olympics.
Are you saying the phrase skeleton racer?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Yeah, oh, she's a skeleton and she races? No.
Are you familiar with bobsled?
Yeah.
What if it's just a person?
What if?
It's basically going down an ice luge on a tea tray. That's essentially what it is.
Raw dogging.
Yeah,
it.
You're raw dogging the ice.
Well, you're not completely raw dogging.
You're going down
on a tea tray.
It is.
It's one of the most dangerous Winter Olympic sports. It's like up there with ski jumping because you're going down like the ice tube thing they used to bobsled, but at like 90 miles an hour on a tea tray.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's just that. It's just you and the thing.
Oh my gosh. Their bodies are floating. That's incredible.
Yeah. And she won. Amy Williams won.
Well, maybe that's who they're thinking of.
She's like, people keep calling me Amy Matthews, and I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what is happening.
Your flowing garments would not be an asset.
No, they would
on
not.
The, on the skeleton track.
Amy Williams.
Oh, there she is.
Oh, there you go.
We're not a million miles apart vibe-wise either.
No.
We're about 12 years apart age-wise, but it's when you split all over again.
And a million miles apart career-wise.
Yeah.
Why not be introducing Olympic gold medalists to the stage at a comedy club? Yeah.
Well, she actually dreams of being a stand-up comedian. That's the thing.
She's like, oh, if I had to do anything other than skeleton.
Yeah. What an amazing job. Oh, I'm a skeleton.
Yeah. There's someone who didn't get told by the people around them that, like, hey,
that's not a job.
That's not a job.
I just want to be spooky for my whole career. That's what I want to do.
Skeleton is the funniest name for an Olympic sport.
Yeah, it's very
it
silly.
It's pretty fucking good. I think we need to wrap this up because you need to go.
I have a show to do.
It remains just to thank Amy very much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. What a treat.
It's been
so
a delight,
nice.
As it always is.
We'll do it again next year.
is there anything you'd like to plug? Bearing in mind, this will probably come out on Monday.
Lovely. In which case, I would like to plug my upcoming tour.
Hell yeah.
It's called Amy Matthews Commute with the Foxes, and it will be around the UK.
Lovely. I've seen it. It's a great show.
You have seen it. Yeah. It's very nice. I'll be around the UK. That's it. I'm also on tour with Ed Byrne. So if you want real bang for your buck, come see me for 20 minutes and see that guy. That's a good time.
Yeah, Ed Byrne's doing Cool Down for you.
Exactly.
Well, they're hot after 20 minutes. They need about an hour and a half, I would say, after that, just to relax.
Yeah. So that's what I'm up to. Yeah.
Wonderful.
You guys? Yeah.
Oh, you know, the usual stuff. I'm also on tour in October, November. Dates on my website all around the UK. Great. Pete?
I'm not doing anything other than what I'm normally doing. But you can listen to the podcast Ooh Spooky, which is three O's and an H.
Yeah.
That's nice. Where you talk about skeleton.
Yeah, talk about skeletons.
It's the
official skeleton coverage.
It's you and Amy Williams.
It is. That's why I was quick to think of who it was. That's actually,
good stuff.
That would be very funny to do a podcast about skeleton, but just know nothing about skeleton. Get a bunch of comedians together and every week just like follow what's going on in the world of skeleton.
To be like, oh, I thought you would be a skeleton. Yeah. Nice to have you here anyway, Williams.
Yeah. My absolute pleasure.
See you later.
See you.